Thank you, my beloved brother. It's very good to be able to stand in front of you tonight and break this bread of life that we have dedicated our lives to. That's one of the things I guess I'd like to kind of remind you of tonight is your being baptized. You know, people join this church and they join that church and everything, but if you read what is said over you when you're baptized, you're not baptized in the Church of Christ. Instead, you're making a covenant with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that you will dedicate your life to them until you die to keep His commandments. That's like, too, that's another thing that we often think, and I do too. You know, it's said that we have the price paid for our sins, and some people even go so far as to say that Christ's coming has wiped away them all of them, right? Just done that, and it's already done, and all you have to do is go to church. But is that true? Or is another thing true? I'd like to call your attention. They talk about Christ laid His life down for us, and He did. And then He went over there and hung on that cross with all the pain and the agony that goes with that, with nails in His hands and His feet, and He hung there until He died, until He gave up the ghost. And then He took Him down. He endured that because it imprinted on Him, and I hope it has on us, the value of salvation. The value of dedicating your life to God and being able to live in happiness. Because, you know, the book says real clear, wickedness never was happiness. So like the 19th chapter of Alma is describing to you, you just kind of have to realize you can't suppose that the great restoration of all things is going to take a wicked person and put him in a place that a righteous person is supposed to go. Because that's not the same thing. That's not a restoration. Ben, we speak about that word of restoration, and I would like to remember us to remember always, and I'm sure you do. We got a lot of churches floating around, and the prophecies even say that that's one of the downfalls, one of the stumbling blocks of our land, the many churches in our land. So it makes it hard to choose. Even so hard to choose, and that even when you grew up in the church, you had to find out later in life, did you do the right thing? You felt with all your heart that you did, but then you feel like you have to go back to the Lord and ask Him. I guess I'll tell you a story about that, but first I want to read you some writing about, I'll start at verse 7 of the 15th chapter of St. John. I want to read a few verses there because it's a point I think we need to seriously consider. Because this is the sayings of Jesus Christ. This is our red letters. He says in verse 7, beginning there, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." Because Jesus has always tried to leave this behind, this trail of understanding and memories. You know, we don't say that much about this in the Bible and Book of Mormon, but the memories. Well, the Book of Mormon says more about it than the Bible. I'll tell you why in just a minute. We have to remember what's happened. Remember the people that you grew up with, that you loved. And you saw them sometimes disagree pretty energetically. Yeah, I did. But we're learning better. But are we learning that in the being less violent, because we live in this time right now that is about as polarized and yet not having a civil war that could exist. And people think, well, you know, if you don't believe like I do, you just hush up your mouth, because if you say any more about it, I'm going to shoot you. How brutal is that? Have you ever been around a lot of things like that where people have to feel like that's going to happen? Well, maybe when I was there, it was different. But I went to a foreign country one time. And they said all the war was over when I got there. But you know what happened when I got there? I found out it, well, yeah, it was over, but the shooting had stopped. And then when I come back, I was called a liar because I said that. Because all the stories about what happened hadn't come back home. They were just over there. So I want to show you, you have to go back to God's word and hang on to it for dear life, because therein is the formula for happiness. Jesus says in verse, starting here again, verse 11, well, I'll read verse 10 to kind of put them together. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's not like a lot of people want to say it. a man lays down his life for his friends. And then he goes on to say, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How, now you say, you know, sometimes we don't like the idea of God's word being so strict. And yet, the word as you present it makes it understand that it automatically goes this way. We had a sermon here a while back that mentioned a great deal about the decrees of God. And you know, you have to really remember that, because like the speaker said at the time, that there are physical ones as well as the spiritual ones. The spiritual ones are the ones that it seems like we talk about the most here, but there's those physical ones too. You go by them whether you like it or not, because that's the way the creation is. And one of the things we do have to understand too is, if you don't want this word to be like it says, and then you go ahead and you change it, you don't stop to realize that it's not God's word anymore. You've changed it to something else. So if you want to believe God's word and you want to live by it, then that's what you need to do. I guess one of the things I really learned when I was overseas there, I was in a critical condition, laying there in that hospital bed. And I cried out in my soul, I went to sleep that first day. And I don't know how long I slept, but something woke me up. And so I woke up and looked around, and there's this person sitting in a chair. No, it wasn't sitting in a chair. He was sitting on the side of the bed. He began to talk to me and described what I had to do. I wanted to change things too. I had grown up, and it's hard because I have a personality that if you do something to me, that's quite all right. But watch out, because it's coming back. And if it takes years, that's just what it'll do. It'll take years to come back, but you'll get it. And you know that is not right. And that's one of the things that this messenger taught me. And I wonder how in the world that you could live in the world the way I was seeing it there without being a person that was violent, that got even. I really thought that. But brothers and sisters, that is not true. After all the things that he said, and I won't go into all of that, what he did say was this, because I wondered, now I wonder the same thing. What are we going to do because of all of this environment we live in? And everybody's ready to hurt one another. But what he said to me at that time was, as he described the kind of person that was his follower, that you had to become that kind of person. You couldn't just say it. You had to be that. That was just you. You were that kind of person, the kind the Lord said. And when he left, the last day, he said to me, "You have to be this kind of person to follow me." And you know, I'm not sure that it didn't take me 20 years after that to get there, because I just had so much trouble when people would do things to me that I had to get back at them. And finally I learned, that's just like being angry. The book says you don't do that. But can you do it? I'll say to you, yes, you can. But you can't do it by yourself. You must, and this is why we all have to realize, as strong as we may be and steadfast followers of Jesus Christ, no matter what anybody tells you, it comes down to it. Well, I'll read the few verses out of the book, the second book of Nephi, and you wonder why. Maybe I better read that to you first. I'll read you why it is. In the Book of Mormon, or the Bible is the record of the Jews. And I didn't realize it until a few months ago that there's a reason why that all the things, Christ does touch on this, because he had one of his disciples come to him and say, well, you're always saying these things in parables. And Christ told him, the reason is those parables, I'm using my words, those parables will go right on by them. But you, if you come to me and ask for understanding, you will understand them. And so that makes it so when you just go and read it, it's like one of our brothers came to me one time and said, you know, I go and I read my Bible and I don't understand a word. And then after a while, I'm talking about after a while, a bunch of years, he came back to me and he said, I am beginning to understand that. I'm beginning to see how clear he made it and positive he made it. But it goes right by you if you're not thinking in the same way that he is. Yeah, that's true. But there's a reason why it takes that combination. I'll turn to page 177 in the Book of Mormon. I'll start reading on verse 176 and on 18 of the third chapter of Jacob. And now, beloved, marvel not that I tell you all these things, for why not speak of the atonement of Christ and attain to the perfect knowledge of him, and to attain to the knowledge of a resurrection and the world to come? Behold, my beloved brethren, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy to the understanding of men. For the Spirit speaketh the truth and lieth not. Wherefore it speaketh of things as they really are, and of things as they really will be, Wherefore these things are manifest unto us plainly for the salvation of our souls. But behold, we are not witnesses alone in these things, for God also spake them unto prophets of old. But behold, the Jews, and that's the record here that we have of the Jews, but behold, the Jews were a stiff-necked people, and they, believe it or not, they despised the words of plainness and killed the prophets and sought for things that they could not understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. For God hath taken away his plainness from them and delivered unto them many things which they cannot understand because they desired it. And because they desired it, God hath done it that they may stumble. Well, you say to yourself, and a lot of the people do this sometimes, some people will say, well, excuse me, they needed to stumble because they stumbled, we, the Gentiles, came into the picture. Well, that in a way is true. That's kind of like the fall of man itself. When he stumbled, he was banished from the garden and the presence of God because he didn't do what God asked him to do. Now, how strict was that? See, it should have taught us right off that when God said something, he really did mean it. He didn't just joke around about it. So that's what we have to look at. And the Jews did this because of the problems that they have. And I didn't look up this scripture, but there is a scripture that says when Christ told them he had to go back to Jerusalem, and he would be, I forgot how it's worded, anyway, he would be turned in and he would have to suffer violence from the elders and the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was going to suffer because those groups didn't want him to go on. And you know that problem that they had then is the same one we have now with some of our people. If you don't believe the way I do, don't let me know about it because I'm going to do something to you for it. You can't live that way. That is not God's way. Now, to go a little bit further with that, I'm going to read to you a little bit from a letter that Mormon wrote to his son Moroni. And I wanted to let you know that this is in a part of the book that's the end of the book. As Moroni had been given the records and he had to finish it off before he died. And this is in a situation where the Nephites had fallen and now there was only 24, the last number that's given, there was only 24 Nephites left alive outside of the ones who had dissented or run and hidden or something like that. But the nation itself was gone. And in our books, you see at the top of the page that in that one battle, and everybody always questions how long it could have been, but that one battle killed 230,000 Nephites. We don't stop to realize that this gospel that we are preached, it's called the gospel of Christ. And then a lot of times we would rather read stories about something that happened to somebody else. But you have to realize that, well, I was going to read you this a minute ago and started over there and didn't get there. That's a bad idea, isn't it? This is in the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi. In the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi, it tells you that the Lord himself had to be baptized, even though he was holy. He had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And he did that. He did. That's another thing that he did for us, to show us the way. And then they could say it afterwards, if you follow Jesus and do all the things that he did, the way he did, you're okay. What I'm going to read to you here, and that's in the 13th chapter, and it tells you that, well, in verses down here, for the gate, in the 24th verse on page 162, in the 2 Nephi, 13th chapter, says, for the gate by which he should enter is repentance and baptism of water. And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. This Holy Ghost comes now as a gift to us. We cry out to God that he will help us always say the truth when we get up here and teach wherever we go, homes, everywhere. Teach the truth according to what Jesus Christ said. It's the gospel of Christ. And it's called that for a good reason. All other mentions, there is no way we could have salvation if this Lord Jesus Christ didn't do what he did. And he did a whole bunch of things in his life to show us the way. He didn't say it was going to be easy. And you knew if you watched him and were empathetic with him, it certainly was not easy. It was even bad enough for him, as strong as he was, that there in the end he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. That was his mainstay. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Not as I. And we're told the same thing. In the 14th chapter, there's several things that are mentioned, so I'll read about 8 verses. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye be entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your heart? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, he could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could you speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. You ever stop to think about it? Did you believe that? That every time an angel of God speaks, if he tells you something, it's like it came right straight from the Lord Jesus. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Wherefore after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, you know, you think, well, Jesus told you, and so now you're cool. He goes further to show you, because he knows every human being on this earth needs help. He goes on and he says, wherefore now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you ask not, neither do you knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. It doesn't say it exactly in this way, but follow me now. The devil is an enemy to God. And in all these mentions of how to enlighten the men, enlighten the children of the world, Christ did it because he told them the truth. And that's why it's saying you want to have your mind enlightened by God. Not because he had a flashlight and he stuck that in there and shined it around. No, he didn't do that. He told you the truth. So that as you grasp this truth, your mind will be enlightened and understand the way you need to behave, that you need to do this, or you're not going to be able to have salvation. That's just like this place over here in St. John I just read to you just a little bit, the last verse that I read you. And he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See, there's always this attachment in there that he has. And he tries to be careful. Well, I'll tell you, he is so considerate. I got told here a month or so ago that they couldn't do surgery on me because I was too old. And so they'd have to send me home, and if I made it through, okay, and if I didn't, well, I'd just die. Yeah, they did. They told me. Not in those words, but that's where it got to me. And so I had to learn one thing. Did you ever say you had to trust in God? You do. I'm standing here because I trusted in God and he decided he was going to help me. And he took a lethal infection out of my body. Infection of the bladder. And you say, well, they always do surgery on that. Yeah, but they'll do it to younger. They'll tell you if you get my age, I can't do that because you can't stand that. Well, you know what they're telling you is, they don't believe your health will stand up under the strain of a major operation like that. And so they send you home to die. So if you don't have God help you, you die. And if you do what he was, they say, well, you'll probably die that too, because they can't keep you from that. And one of the other real dangers is, they described to me, the bladder and the intestine being as close together it is like it is when you get appendicitis, that if they mishandled something or something got away from them, the lethalness of the bacteria that is there will get into the intestines and immediately you have peritonitis. And so that's the danger you have with that. And I don't say this to show you how bad he treated me. I'm telling you how fast he treated me good. Because when he sent me home, in 2 days I was up and around. I spent 8 days on flat on my back with a rubber hose stuck in my nostril to pump my stomach. And so finally when they let me up and I went home, this God that we have was there. And I know others of us have had these things happen too, but it's kind of, it makes me feel similar to the time I did when we were in a hurricane and they thought that the ship was sunk, but we didn't. I came through that hurricane. Brothers and sisters, I wish that I could share. I'm talking about it, and I'm asking God to use His Holy Spirit to help you see what I'm saying and feeling. You are my beloved brothers and sisters, all of you. I can't think of one. I just met a couple of them a little while ago, but the rest of you are all that I've known for years almost. Except the wife of this young man here in the front. Yeah, I don't have known her as long. But, you know, and those the things themselves just come to you in a way that helps you. One other thing I want to share with you now. This is a special church. It's Christ's church. We made a covenant with Him to be a member of this church. We didn't just join the church. We made a covenant with Him to become a part of the church. And in doing so, He helps us do the things we need. And there, in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, it talks about an ensign that's going to be set up. And the Lord's going to set His hand again the second time to recover His people Israel. He goes at a length there that describes when He's talking about Israel. This church was organized, and yeah, people talk about Joseph Smith. Well, I was reading through the Book of Mormon one day, and I read in Mormon where it tells you that there's a person that God chooses that's going to be empowered to bring this record forth. And as they do, and the time goes by, you must not judge that person rashly. And you know what it says along with that? If you judge him rashly, I'll judge you rashly. So what it's saying is leave him alone. He was a man. He did a job that God asked him to do. And after he turned everything back to the angel, that's when he ran into trouble. Why? Because he fulfilled the prophecy which said, this is an unlearned man we're talking about. And he felt inferior because of that sometimes. Because the people that came to the church in groups sometimes had educational credentials and religious credentials that were far above his, and he just, it overwhelmed him. I'm not saying he did right. I don't know what God's going to do with him, but he's in God's hands. It's not my business. That's why when I came home the service and I begged God finally to give me, I need to know two things. I needed to know that this book that I believed was true, that I had read at a very young age. And that is another thing. When I was going to be baptized, I was asking my dad to be baptized for 3 or 4 years before he would let me do it. But they always tell me, well, you're just wanting to be baptized because so-and-so was baptized. Brothers and sisters, that's not what happened to me. Young as I was, I read through this book, and I read where Christ taught the people on this land. And it was like he was pointing his finger at me and saying, I want you. And finally, I think Dad understood. But I felt kind of bad about the situation, because you know what I had done? Here once again, this human being is talking. I went to God and I said, God, I'm going to ask one more time. If you don't do it this time, I'm done. I'll not ask again. He did it. And I'm not trying to justify the way I did that, because that's the way I felt. And it was not a good way to feel. What I'm telling you is we need to, in our time that we're living in today, and you know, even on the media, they're talking about this, the polarization of the feelings of people in our country. And really, it goes further than just in our country, but especially in our country. But I want you to realize that I'm going to read a little bit out of the first chapter of Ether. And I want you to realize that God has ordained this land, the land that we're blessed with being citizens of. He has ordained this land that if you don't keep my commandments, I'll have to sweep you off when you become ripe with wickedness. Brothers and sisters, we can't let that happen this time. It's happened twice. We can't let that happen. It's our responsibility. And that's what I was just kind of quoting a minute ago. I could read more of it. But it tells you in Isaiah, in several places, but the 11th chapter is one, that Christ is going to set up an ensign, and the Gentiles are going to seek that Gentile. And let me read over here on page 717 in the Book of Mormon to kind of get you the idea, because you know, most of the scriptures, it seems like, are written to the house of Israel. But the end of this scripture I'm going to read doesn't say that. It includes something else. And verse 27 says, and it came to pass that the Lord did go before them, and they did and did talk with him, and he stood in a cloud and gave direction whether they should travel. And it came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness and did build barges in which they did cross many waters, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even to the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land. That's what brought me to this. It's one of the decrees of God. Now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is the land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decrees of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. This cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. What I'm saying to you, too, there's many religions in the world nowadays that does not believe in Christ. Brothers and sisters, on your life, do not let them talk you into anything else but believe in Christ. Believe in his word. Believe everything that he said. Believe that he is concerned about us, this God that we have. There's so many incidents that people have their testimonies and written in the scriptures. God just tries to be extra careful to be sure that you are given every chance. For instance, if you want to read through the last of what was happening to the Nephites, God tried and tried and tried over again to get it across to those people that they had to repent of their sins. And they would not. He came close to begging them. He wanted them. He didn't want to have to destroy them, but he did. You say, well, he didn't destroy, they just had war between each other. Yeah, that's what happened, all right. But did you stop and realize, as you read through the scriptures, when God tells somebody that they need to repent and they don't, pretty soon some other nation or group of nations will jump on that nation and sometimes completely destroy it. I'd like to, maybe this wouldn't, doesn't come across, maybe it doesn't hit you like it does me, but when I was in Germany, we had an ally in World War II, and they called themselves the Russians. And we thought they were allies, and we went all the way through the official part of the war. But after that was over, guess what? We found out they were not our friend. So the things that they're doing now are not different. The mass graves that they discovered were done by the Russians in World War II before we found out. I won't say all of them were, but many of them were. Brothers and sisters, this group of people don't believe like we do. But I will tell you this. I'll read this to you and tell you that you have to shoulder this, have to go along with it, and it's in the 7th chapter of Moroni. And this is Mormon's letter. I started to tell you more about this a while ago. This is Mormon's letter that he wrote to Moroni, and it was also a sermon that he had preached in their synagogue. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's long. But I'll read to you how this happened to happen. This comes in here in a part of the Book of Mormon when Moroni is just wrapping things up. And he had to use this long after it was written to him, because while he was writing this Book of Moroni, it was after they had been reduced to 24 people, and he by himself was having to run and hide to get the last of his work done, and this was part of that. But his father had written this to him earlier. And now I, Moroni, write a few words of my father, Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. For after this manner did he speak unto the people as he taught them in the synagogues which they had built for the place of worship. And now I, Mormon, speak unto you, my beloved brethren, and it is by the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and his holy will, because of the gift of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore I speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men, for I remember the word of God which saith, by their works ye shall know them, for if their works are good, then they are good also. And this is a thing that points its finger right at us. We are not supposed to. That's not what Christ wanted done with the gospel. He wanted it to teach us peace and understanding and love for each other. Years ago, it doesn't seem like there was much of this being mentioned, but nowadays, every once in a while, they'll read the same thing. What's the first two commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. And it's worded a little bit different in another place. It brings in the soul. But what I want to have you understand is this. In our hearts, one of our brothers gone to his reward now, but during World War II, he was a bombardier. And he was thankful all during the time he was in the service and even until he got home. He'd never had to kill anybody until he had a real truthful friend. As he told him the story one time, and this friend saw him and said, "What do you mean you didn't kill anybody? How do you know?" "Well, I didn't see anybody." "No, but you dropped bombs on them. You know how many were killed?" I would like to... This doesn't say this in the book, but I'm going to tell you, I feel like that if in war or not, if you have had to take another human life, you will need to repent before you die. I can't prove that, but it goes clear through my soul. I beg of you tonight, you've been a wonderful audience. Thank you so much for letting me talk about the Word of God here, to talk over the things that we need to believe, that we need to understand, need to hope for. Because I'll tell you this, there is a prophecy that says that all the churches have gone astray. And it goes ahead and says, "Save it be a few." Or many instances are led to error because they are taught by the precepts of men. So it didn't leave anybody out. Didn't leave anyone out. It just shows you that we all need this Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be men and women that are begging him for guidance every day of our lives. And I think I'm talking to people who believe this. And it makes me give thanks. Because when I say you're my beloved brothers and sisters, boy, I can just really say it because I know what you're going to try to do. I hope I've said enough. Thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. We have been blessed today with two wonderful sermons. I would suggest that you pray in your hearts, consider all of those things that have been presented before you today to understand what Christ is trying to tell us today. We have a couple of announcements. Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., will be a prayer service. Upcoming United Workers are selling trash bags as a fundraiser. Details on the bulletin board. See Kate Malone for a purchase. A women's retreat, September 30th to October 1st. Register before August 31st for a $5 discount. Registration forms in the foyer or online at retreat.churchofchrist.tl. Tuesday will be a business meeting for the Sunday school at 7 p.m. And then September 6th will be a business meeting for the local at 7 p.m. There is a baptism class in response to requests from several young people. Beginning September 12th, a class will be presented for teens to help them prepare for committing their lives to Christ in baptism. The class will focus on the foundational concepts of the gospel of Christ and and practical real-life applications of Christ's teachings. The class will meet every Monday evening at 7 p.m. on the temple lot for 6 to 7 weeks.